order. Welcome, everyone. Howard will lead us through the opening.
Thank you, Director Syed. Good morning and welcome to the July 31, 2025 City of Alameda AC Transit ILC hybrid meeting. No action shall be taken during a disruption that would prevent members of the public from offering public comments using the call-in or internet-based option. This meeting is being recorded. For the members of the public who have dialed into this meeting by telephone, you must press *9 to raise your hand when the agenda item you would like to speak on is called, and the committee secretary will unmute you at the appropriate time and call the last four digits of your phone number. If you are attending the meeting via Zoom, you may use the raise your hand feature and your name will be called when it is your turn to speak. If you decide not to speak, you may dial *9 or click lower your hand in Zoom. We request that all speakers clearly and slowly state their name for the record and make sure their location is quiet and that all other audio devices are turned off. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes to present their comments and will be notified their time is up. Chair Syed, I don't know if you want to do roll call first and then
yes,
staff
please.
Introductions or staff introductions
lead us
then.
Through roll call and introductions, please.
Okay. Roll call, Vice Mayor Pryor.
Here.
Council Member Dasog.
Here.
And Director Syed.
Here.
Okay. And would you like to do staff introductions?
Yes, please.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I am Howard Durr. I am the interim service plan manager at AC Transit. Pass it over to Crystal.
Hi, everyone. Crystal Wayne, transportation planner at AC Transit.
Morning. Lisa Foster, transportation planning manager for the City of Alameda.
Good morning. Maria Henderson, external affairs representative, legislative affairs, and community relations with AC Transit.
Will Wong, operations control center, AC Transit.
I'm Susie Hostetter, senior transportation coordinator, City of Alameda.
And I believe that is it for staff. Oh, any staff on the online?
Go ahead, Casey.
Hi, everyone. Casey Bruno, transportation planner at AC Transit.
David?
David Berman, senior transportation planner at AC Transit and ReLine project manager.
And Deborah?
Deborah Garcia, customer services manager at AC Transit.
And I'm Tammy Kylo, secretary to this committee. And I'm also promoting Rama right now, so he's also be joining us. And Director Peoples is also online today as somebody from the public. And Lisa, did you want to introduce yourself?
Oh, Sherry did.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rama.
Good morning, I'm Rama Pocharal, Executive Director of Planning and Engineering, AC Transit.
That's everybody online, thank you.
Okay, next time you Director Syed.
Great, do we have any announcements or public comment? Okay.
Yes, today's Charlie Cameron. I live in Union City, but I consider myself a hybrid resident. Director Syed, I've been trying to come down here to bring to your attention for the past 2 years at the Route 19 at the Fruitvale Bar. It's stop number 59,000. It's a very small flag. It has three bus routes coming in, the 19, the 20, and the 21. The only thing on the decal that says Fruitvale Bar to downtown Oakland via Alameda, according to the current Route 19, as we speak, it also serves Seminary Yard D4, but it is not on the decal. So for the past 2 years plus, no one has put that decal up to told you whatever is wrong, and that is one of the reasons why the ridership is down. Not one road supervisor or detail person. Years back, Syed, Director Syed, I brought to a lot of issues with former Director Ortiz. I've been miffed and snubbed by her years back. Now you can take it from me, with the new 19, is it going to be terminated the seminary, or is it going to be going up there and talk about the new water taxi? Will I be able to get off the current Route 19 or the new proposed to the number 19 and have an opportunity to take the water tank from Jacqueline Square over to the Alameda? And what is at the borehole or the area? Is it a isolated place? They have stores or shops? I want to maybe have a date or whatever. So thank you for coming, and I hope to be a participant. Thank you. And I told Howard, when is the new systems maps going to be out? When are the new system schedules going to be out? So you can find out from him or make an announcement. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. And we will be going over realign. So I did hear some of your questions have to do with route changes. So we'll be talking about that today, and I'll ask staff to, you know, clarify if you didn't quite hear the whole question, so we can respond to that. So thank you for your passion and commitment to riding transit. So any other public comments or announcements? Okay. Colleagues, did everybody have a chance to look at our notes from the last meeting? I think, as usual, they were excellent. We don't formally approve those, so just encourage everyone to take a glance if you need a refresher. And let's move on to our main discussion items. Beginning with the first item, managing on-time performance.
So I guess that's me. All right, so I'm Will Wong. I'm the Operations Control Center Manager. I've been in the department for 20 years. I'm also a longtime Alameda resident. I've been here almost 44 years. So as far as on-time performance goes, we have created an on-time performance team. This is the third iteration that we've done that at. And they are in the field right now, checking bus routes. They take time checks. They are now measuring bus stops to see the length of the bus stops. They are taking the timing for traffic lights to see how long it takes for a traffic light to signal. We have done a 51A evaluation recently. And in the past, the original team in the early 2000s was comprised of some of my classmates. And they actually were the ones that created the data to decide to split the 51A, and the 51B. The team currently has been working with our other departments in AC Transit, such as the data, correct me correctly, what Howard, no, the team is, Campbell's team is data. I'm drawing a blank. Sorry.
Blank also.
We work with the data, sorry.
Business sciences.
Data systems analysis team. Thank you, Rama. We work with them to look at the data on the back end to see where we can make a difference in improving the on-time performance at various locations. They even give us heat maps to show us when buses are running early or late, and we can send out the team to evaluate if it is the data that's coming in is being collected incorrectly. We can make adjustments and work with the vendor, and we can also look at if it is actually an off-performance issue. My team creates performance reports, submits it to the divisions, and division staff management will address that issue. So on-time performance is our metric that we use to measure our on-time performance. Currently, our OTP standard is 72%. For the longest time in the beginning, it was under 72%. It was about 68, correct me if I'm wrong, to about 69%. In the recent 2 years, the on-time performance has jumped quite a bit. We're averaging anywhere between 76 to, as I've seen, as high as 80%. I think that's a statement for our directors that have allowed us to have the additional supervisors to be out in the field to address the issues that we have in the on-time performance. And we see that the benefits of them being in the field have yielded almost probably a 10% jump in our on-time performance. So I think that's a very valuable point to make. For AC Transit, our on-time is defined as a bus arriving or departing a time point bus stop limits listed on timetables no more than 1 minute early or no more than 5 minutes later than scheduled.
That is our standard. However, in our in my department, we try to make sure that they are not arriving early at all, and we try to make sure that they're not leaving late. However, there's a lot of construction in the field. There's also a lot of events that cause us to be up to detour and whatnot. We also, I think that we had an issue over in Emeryville today where a water main broke, so our detour had to be implemented, and that information is normally disseminated through our app. That goes into the last point of many factors can cause delays and affect on-time performance. As you can see, there's multiple issues out in the field. We already touched upon detours, events. I think we recently had the Park Street closed, I think a couple weeks ago, for an event. That caused some of us to detour our routes off of Park Street. And I grew up with Park Street being two lanes. So with it coming down to one lane, I have noticed that we have had challenges getting into and out of that particular corridor. When we detour, obviously you see that there's some challenges there as well. I know it's been a point from Director Syed stating to make sure that we put up signage and to make sure that our app is working properly. And I think that's pretty much everything I have. We can, I guess, move on to the next slide. How is on-time performance managed? I kind of touched upon that earlier. I do have a quick screenshot in there of a map and of the route ladder. I have it on my laptop right now that I have access. I can see what is going on, and my tablet that I have also allows me to view buses. Every supervisor vehicle in the field has one of these tablets that can pull up a route and monitor the route to see on-time performance. When you hover over the icon, as you can see up there, it can give you quite a bit of information, such as the operator's information, location, route that they're running, and then our internal identification, such as what we call a block number, which identifies what schedule they're supposed to be at, and then a run number, which is, identifies what work they're working. Right below it is the route ladder. It shows the entire route that is, such as the 51A. I can't see exactly which ones I gave you the examples of, but the dots represent the bus stops, and then there's a little icon up there that represents the bus, and that moves along, and the colors change depending on if it is on time, early, or late. The field, the boots on the ground, I touched upon that also earlier about the three supervisors in the field dedicated to on-time performance. However, we also have multiple other supervisors that are out in the field as well that they take the calls, for instance, on the buses, such as maybe an accident, a passenger fall. What was the most recent one that we had? I think there was a weapon found on a bus, and they addressed that with ALCO. And in the past, our supervisors have also assisted with finding missing children. We had a missing child in Oakland recently, and they were able to help ALCO, Alameda County Sheriff, find the baby and return the baby to the family, which was actually with the family, but the mother actually fell asleep on the bus. Somehow they got separated, and then she freaked out, but they were able to be reunited. So our team does quite a bit of stuff that a lot of people don't ever touch upon or talk about. There are a lot of assumptions made. So our field, that's most of our field supervisors. The ones that are also in the field taking those calls for accidents, incidents, also do on-time performance. They will station at various time points and monitor, just as the on-time performance team does, to assist with the improvement of our on-time performance. Active line management, I touched upon that with the three supervisors. We also do that in Operations Control Center. We have been monitoring buses on there. It does show us if the bus is running late or early, and we can make contact with the operator directly through our voice over IP to encourage the operator to slow down if they're running early and to make sure that they're adhering to the on-time performance. With that being said, that's pretty much most of the stuff on that page. Is there one more page, Crystal? Okay, and I guess that's my presentation. Should you have any questions, I think that'll be for later, is that correct?
Or
right now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm a little.
Thanks. Well, it's great to know too. You're providing extra eyes on the street here in Alameda for your whole tenure at Transit. I did have a question. If you could touch upon our recent outcomes of our pilot program, just to share those regarding improving on-time performance. I'm not sure if you have it handy, but we did get a report on that recently at the board, and it was quite dramatic. My recollection is, you know, over
like 15% increase in on-time performance. And could you speak to that briefly?
I think I helped provide or work
maybe
with, with Dwayne on the data to provide that. I'm a little unfamiliar with, I'm mixing it in my head of which one it is. Do you happen to have
this? This is the incentive pay pilot program.
So,
can
you speak to that? Can you speak up loudly? We can't hear you very well.
Director Syed, I couldn't hear your question very well. Are you talking about incentive pay or?
Yes, so we've been running an incentive pay program on our busiest routes, including some, you know, at least one route here in Alameda. And we got some preliminary report back from that recently. It was focused on increasing on-time performance. Do you have that handy?
I don't have that handy right now, but I'm familiar with that. There are 13 routes that we are providing some incentive pay for the operators to maintain the field, the service. And it's a great success so far. We are seeing 98 to 99% of service operator fill. That means the buses are leaving on time and are there reliable service out there in the field. The on-time performance for those are around 78%, most of the lines, except for two lines that we are monitoring. That will also give us a chance to look at the runtime issues. If there are any runtime issues that we have to address going down the line. So we, out of 13, there are two that are, we are flagging to see the runtime issues. There are construction going on. Line 10 and line 72, there are construction going on, but we are monitoring those two. But the rest of 11 lines, there are around 78 to 80% on-time performance with around 98 to 99% service operation. So it's a great success story for all around for the riders and for the community.
Wonderful, thank you. And we can bring back more info as we get learn more about that pilot program, but
yeah.
I think it's been very promising, a very small investment. Yes?
So I believe that the incentive program is brought in, I believe it's $2 additional pay for all the trunk lines for the people who operate the route. So it encourages operators to run the route. Should they not run the route, I don't believe they get the extra incentive. In addition to that, at the first property I was at, we had trouble covering our school services. This was, I think, almost 25, 30 years ago at my other vacancy. And the operations control center manager, or the operations manager at that time, added an incentive of $1.
It didn't dawn on to me that until Arlie brought it up and got it through the process that, oh yeah, we've done this before. It actually is successful. And it's yielding similar results as what we saw at my first property. So I think that's a very beneficial program that we've had. We've also been able to reduce the overtime so that we have additional operators available for should someone call up sick. And that also correlates to making sure that all the services out, like Rama said, because we're hitting the 98 to 99% logon rate, that means that all the services are out there. What we have seen on on-time performance is if a bus is missing on a route, more than likely that is causing the on-time performance to drop, because if I'm driving a bus and Howard is driving the bus before me, but he calls out sick, I'm not only picking up my passengers, but I'm picking up his passengers, which creates a delay in the service. So when, if Howard is there and getting the incentive, he's picking up his passengers, and then it dominoes into our on-time performance increasing.
Great, and thanks for pointing out it can also be cost-effective, because we, when an operator calls out, then we often end up paying overtime, right? So it's paying a little more, but it's still delivering really real benefits. Any other questions on this presentation today, or public comments? Move on to our realign updates.
I will be doing that one, so I'll just get started. Realign service changes are coming August 10th, and our detailed information as to how those changes are going to affect people's travel throughout our service area is available online at ectransit.org. After 2 years of community outreach and planning, our team has developed the new bus network based on lots of community input. with a focus on equity and backed by lots of data analysis. And with our impending fiscal crisis in mind, the changes were designed to be largely cost and operator neutral. So just to quickly recap the changes, in Alameda, Line 19 is being extended west into Alameda Point via Stargell, Pan Am Way, and Ralph Apozzato. And on the east side, it will be going to our AC Transit Division 4, in addition to Fruitvale BART. This one will continue to run every 60 minutes daily with service between downtown Oakland, Alameda Point, the northern waterfront area along Buena Vista, and then Fruitvale BART and Division 4. Line 21 is actually being renumbered to Line 31, and it'll still serve Harbor Bay Ferry Terminal, but no longer serve Oakland Airport. So it'll serve the Ferry Terminal, Park Street, Fruitvale BART, all the way up to Chabot Science Center in Oakland. Line 96 is going to remain the same in Alameda, but service is being added to Brooklyn Basin in Oakland. So it'll serve Alameda Point, downtown Oakland, Brooklyn Basin, and the Diamond District. Line O is going to remain the same, but its frequency is going to be reduced to hourly service on weekends only. Line OX is going to be discontinued, but Line W is still going to be rerouted to serve Bay Farm. So Bay Farm residents will still have a Transbay bus option to take to Salesforce Transit Center in San Francisco. And then we heard loud and clear from Alameda about the 51A, so no changes are happening to the 51A or any of the routes that serve middle and high schools or the overnight lines. So we've been coordinating with city staff on new bus stops for Realign, and that's been mainly focused on near-term improvements at new bus stops along Stargell to make sure that they're safe and ADA accessible. In the longer term, there's a longer-term city project along Stargell that has bus stop improvements included. We're also going to be reinstating some former bus stop locations along Ralph Apozzato that were previously used by Line 78. There's also been ongoing coordination with the city as needed for bus stops associated with Line 96 out in Alameda Point. So on that one, we'd really just coordinate with the city as needed and make adjustments based on the latest road closures and detours. Next slide, please.
Thanks, Crystal. Maria Henderson, External Affairs Representative, AC Transit. So I just want to close out this update. This is a friendly reminder that after 2 years of planning and public participation, on August 10th, the realigned service changes will go into effect. Our website is active, www.actransit.org/realign. And it's a good resource to understand what's happening with your bus lines that Crystal just summarized. Online communications and social media started earlier this month and continue with our e-news bulletins. You can sign up for our e-news also on our website. They have been coming out with general and line specific communications. The first e-news actually went out on May 30th, and we'll continue to send those out until the launch. So printed information is currently on our buses and in the interior of our buses with line by line brochures by geographic areas. And they're available in English, Spanish, and simple Chinese. Ads are also posted at BART stations. We have head signs on our buses, messaging that August 10th realign service changes are going into effect, and to go to actransit.org for more information. We've been in the community, we've been at bus stops, completing outreach. We've also been going to city council meetings to provide information on what's to come, and also municipal council advisory councils, MACs, to alert policymakers and the general community on what's happening starting August 10th. So again, you will find ambassadors out in the community at bus stops now, and we are going to mostly high ridership locations where stops are going away or routes are changing. So continue to stay connected and learn more at www.actransit.org/realign. Thank you. And thank you to the city for always getting the word out for us.
Great. Do we have any public comments on this item? And I wanted to be sure we had a chance to cover everything you raised, Charlie, regarding questions. It does sound like 19 will be going to Division 4. Do you have any other questions about that change, Charlie, on 19? If so, we can pull up the map and share it with you. Hearing no further.
Well, yep. First of all, I asked Howard, when is the new system maps going to be out? When is the new system schedules for the individual line going to be out? Not online, out.
In the communication with other staff, and we expect to have maps and schedules available at our customer service office downtown next week.
I actually have some maps with me today if you'd like one.
What's that?
I have a map with me today if you'd like
one.
I have a new one.
Oh, that's what I mean.
There we go.
Yes.
Even better.
Yes. There you go.
Fine.
I read your mind. I can also add that the Mastic Senior Center also already has line-by-line route change descriptions. And then we just got a big pack from Ms. Henderson today that we will be distributing around to the libraries and more to the Mastic Senior Center. So we'll have our part in helping distribute these.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. And I just wanted to thank, this group here and the broader community for all of their participation in the process. You know, we did hear loud and clear how important it was to keep that connection to Kaiser and Oakland and to reduce the transfer, having a transfer, and that's what we see we are delivering with this. So I think that was really a key change. And, I'm excited to be able to get on a bus from the Diamond and come down to the Point. Haven't been able to do that before, so. If there's no further questions, we'll go ahead and proceed and welcome Director Young to the meeting as well. We're just wrapping up the realign update, which we'll be launching soon. Go ahead.
On the topic of the realign, I just want to say, express appreciation to AC Transit board members as well as staff members for the transparent process that you had laid out. I know that it was a difficult decision that ultimately you guys had to make, especially with the situation, federal funding and all that. But we certainly appreciated all the points where you were taking public input, and so we appreciate especially seeing the line 51A.
Thank you. And this is something we're going to have to continue to guard and protect, and we'll look forward to being your partner. We've been in a number of challenging meetings lately, and it's not looking pretty in terms of transit funding. So, we look forward to really working together to ensure we're not back in another year looking at service cuts, right? Because that's, we've got to protect this plan, however imperfect it is, and fight to continue to get more funding so we can have get back to 100% pre-pandemic eventually. So stay tuned. Let's have another
part. Oh yeah, I had a couple of questions. I just have a comment first, is that I will take the, usually I ride my bike and take the BART, Fremont, come back, but if it's raining or whatever, I have three bus options. But the 21, I'm so glad you said the 21 is now the 31, because I was all, I have to write that down because that's one of my options. But my question about that is, I had not personally taken the bus to the Oakland airport, but I would, just because the 21 is not to walk with a suitcase. It's going to be too far. But I was just curious why that, because it would have, had I been closer, that would have been a perfect option to get to the airport. Was it, were not a lot of people
This is one of those decisions, I think, that was really, you know, driven by equity and looking at trade-offs that were unfortunate, but that we do have to make because, you know, like you, many others struggle with that connection, right? And we're not competitive with other alternatives. That said, we did still hear, right, you know, this will be an impact to members of the community who took it. So. We talked recently about a lot of them are employees, and maybe there could be a van pool match or something like that, an option that could still ensure access, but that is enabling us to serve the maximum number of riders while unfortunately carrying that back. So, did staff want to add anything? I mean,
sure, yeah, it was pretty much the low ridership issue. There was an average of 2 to 3 riders per trip, and that was even going back to the airport, and that was going back to even. Pandemic, so it was just not a very productive line, and also just there are so many other transit travel options to the airport, like the BART airport connector, we're using AC Transit Line 73, so that was.
Yeah, I would just think about me because I'm selfish. I'm like, well, the 20 is right by my house. If you ever want to make that, go to the airport. Yay!
That's true.
And this is coming from actually my neighbor, but we were talking about buses to the ferry. I know there's the bus that goes to the ferry on Bay Farm, but is it just the infrequency of riders that when you take the bus to go to the ferry terminals here on the island, or is it just not come up? I'm just curious.
Yeah, there was another one that used to go to Seaplane Lagoon, and the challenge with that one also was ridership. There was also plenty of free parking out there. Mm. And then the other challenge was just making sure the schedules aligned.
Oh, got it.
In the event that the bus was running late, it's not like the ferry can hold for us, and kind of vice versa. So, and then just the frequency of schedule changes was mismatched.
All right, cool. Thank you. That was it.
Right. That was a challenging decision. But it was driven by data and driven by, you know, the reality is where that ferry terminal is located now, it's kind of like it's on the end of a dirt road in some respects, right? There's no sidewalks there. There's very little near it. And so it's really hard to serve the transit without having a lot of areas with more demand get less service. So. Maybe something will change there. There is a lot of change happening in land uses in that area, and we could revisit that in the future when we have more funding. But today is. Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, is it too late for me to make a. I just wanted to make a suggestion, actually. The Alameda staff know that I'm always concerned about publicity, and you guys are doing such a great job. I'm an AC Transit rider. My name is Christy Cannon. I'm a volunteer with Community Action for a Sustainable Alameda, and I work on transportation issues primarily. I went to a webinar yesterday sponsored by America Walks, and the Sierra Club was a very active presence, and they were very concerned about equity issues for getting people out into nature. And we have this wonderful regional park area, and the 21, soon to be the 31, is going to be going up to Chabot. But to me, the critical thing about that's going to go by a couple of trailheads. So I think it would behoove you in the future to figure out every bus that you have that can get people out to the regional parks. It may not be the ultimate destination, but if they're going by, and just let people know that they have those options. I think it's kind of exciting because I'm a hiker. Thank you.
That's a great idea, Christy. And we've heard about some communities organizing bus parties around these changes coming in realign. So I would just suggest that if anybody wants to throw a bus party and let's get up to the park, I'm happy to show up and let's celebrate this new service. Any other comments?
I just want to, you know, make it clear that we do have our new system maps for the new service change coming on August 10th. They're online right now. And so you can see that what's happening, what's going to come currently. So we're starting slowly to get the printed materials out, but the information about the changes is already on our website.
Great. Next, we'll move on to our status briefing items. I'll ask staff to lead us through those, starting with City of Alameda Free Bus Pass Pilot Program updates.
Thank you. I will address that. So
As everybody knows, we have the free bus pass program that serves older adults and people with disabilities in Alameda who are low income. Thank you to the AC Transit Board and to City Council for approving our extended agreement. So that is now fully executed for another 2 years, lasting through July 2027. And we are doing our enrollment renewal right now. This happens annually to make sure that we're serving the people we intend to serve. This year, we, because we're really at the max of our of what we can afford with this project, with this program, we have added some more stringent paperwork requirements. So they need to show more to verify low-income status, as well as continued residency. And so those letters went out in late June, and the forms are due August 15th. So we don't know where we're going to end up at the end of that just yet. The response has been very strong, though, and mostly in person. So our paratransit coordinator, who's at the Mastic Senior Center, she has been handling lines of people coming in to check in with her. And luckily, she has the route update information, so she's getting touch points with our participants to tell them about, you know, a name change and information that is important to them as well. And we are hoping that between, you know, making sure we get a little additional money toward this program and this renewal, that we will be able to clear an existing wait list sometime this fall is the hope. It's all based on projections, so we'll see where we end up. The riders are now taking about 18,000 and 19,000 rides per month. And yeah, we just, as they've been coming in, they've been continuing to express a lot of gratitude for the program and talk about all the ways that they use it. So we're really happy to have it.
Thank you. Any questions about this program? Well, I'm really great that they're able to connect and be that person sharing all the updates there at the Senior Center. And
so it sounds like August 15th, that's when the deadline is for showing all your paperwork, and then hopefully we'll be able to get that wait list cleared into the fall. So thank you. And I'll have you continue with the next item.
Another quick update about the efforts to for the named Measure BB bus project in the 2014 Transportation Expenditure Plan of the Alameda CTC. We're replacing the Ralph Hoppizotto Memorial Parkway Bus Lanes project with a transit-focused multimodal projects. And again, thank you to AC Transit Board and City Council for endorsing these. So that happened in May and June. And then in June, we sent a letter to Alameda CTC formally requesting the amendment to the transportation expenditure plan. And so they have a few steps, Alameda CTC, along the way. But we anticipate, you know, if it's approved, the process being completed by early 2026.
Thanks for making the trek to AC Transit a couple of times for our board meetings.
I enjoyed it. It's a privilege.
Any questions or comments on these items? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go to Park Street TSP and signal optimization.
Good morning, everyone. Casey Bruno, AC Transit Transportation Planner, and a part of the Park Street project team. So the Park Street TSP design project is currently on schedule. As a quick refresher, this project will implement transit signal priority, or TSP, along Park Street from Alameda Avenue to Otis Drive, completing the TSP network already in place from Blanding Avenue to Central Avenue. This project kicked off in May, and Kimley Horn, who is the designer for this project, is wrapping up the 35% design package that will be sent out to all relevant agencies, including the City of Alameda, for review and comment. They're also, Kim Lee Horn is also working on the content for the project website, so that will be up and running hopefully sometime next month. We're targeting early December for the completion of final design, followed by the construction advertisement and invitation for bids. Construction is anticipated to begin spring 2026 and hopefully wrap up by summer 2026. And lastly, a before and after evaluation will be conducted following project completion sometime in fall 2026. And that's my update.
Thank you, Casey. Do we have any questions on this item? All right. Next item, back to the joint update on the Oakland Alameda Access Project.
Crystal Wang, AC Transit. So the Oakland Alameda Access Project, or OAAP project, it's a major project that's being led by ACTC, and it's a roadway project to improve access between 880 downtown Oakland and Alameda. I'm sure everyone's heard of it at this point. The Webster and Posey tubes will have single lane closures for many months during construction. Staff from AC Transit and the city have been attending monthly technical meetings and monthly outreach meetings regarding the project. Based on the last update we heard from the project team in early July, construction is still expected to start later this year, possibly in November. The project team has been doing outreach, including a few in-person presentations in Alameda, I think. And then when construction starts, Caltrans will be taking over on communications with support from ACTC. And I don't know if the city has anything to add.
Well, we're glad to see the transit signal project happening on Park Street that can help. It's another corridor, but it will also be impacted. So we're carefully watching that and working with AC Transit on that. And then also interested to see what happens with the potential for bus-only lanes in Oakland, on the Oakland side, if you guys want to speak to the status of that. And we are planning to monitor the situation after construction has begun and lane closures have begun to see whether we need to extend our existing bus-only lane on Webster a little further. We're told it's a very effective one, so we're glad we already have it. And then we'll see if it needs to go further.
Yeah, on the bus-only lanes in Oakland, like Lisa was saying, there's only so much that can be done in Alameda because so much has already been done and it's working well. On the bus-only lanes on the Oakland side, the city has agreed to it, and the only thing remaining is to talk to the community about it. So there, I don't have any update other than that.
Given the importance of this project and for both us and Alameda, we're obviously going to have to continue to monitor and really work closely on this. Particularly, so it's going to be important to come to myself and the mayor of Alameda, who are on ACTC, who are going to be obviously leading the construction, to ensure that whatever comes up, we adequately address at ACTC to make sure the impacts are addressed. And then I'm really supportive of that transit signal priority on Park Street. I can tell you, coming in and out of Alameda all the time, it's definitely needed, particularly in the mornings leaving Alameda. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Dr. Young. We are grateful for your leadership at ACTC. Any other questions on this project? If not, let's dive into the numbers. Ridership and complaints with actual missed runs. This is an AC Transit item. Okay. So we've got some great graphs and numbers in the packet.
I will take this one again. So the agenda packet includes our usual attachment with the performance summary for lines that operate in Alameda for March 2025 through June 2025.
Ridership has stayed pretty consistent, and generally most of the lines are where they should be, again, in terms of productivity. The OX and the 19 are low. They should probably be closer to 20 passengers per revenue hour, and they're currently hovering at 9, 10-ish passengers per revenue hour. On-time performance has improved since the report at the last ILC, which again speaks to the efforts being made by the supervision team. On customer feedback, most of the complaints we received were related to no-shows and pass-ups, and that was mainly on the 51A. That's the update that I have on ridership and complaints.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on this item? I had a question. One of the things staff could look into, just a simple like indexing by ridership, because like we see a lot of the complaints are on the 51, and every time I look at that, I'm like, oh, it's our highest ridership line. Is it proportionally getting a lot more complaints or not? So that would be something, if it's simple to do, I'd ask staff to look into on this. And then just on the really colorful updates showing all of the different reasons that trips are canceled, when I look at it, it kind of jumps out like D4, but I just wanted to confirm that's because these are trips that are on the lines that we're reporting on, and so that's why it looks like D4 has a larger number of canceled trips. If you could go to that one, the ones that show canceled trips, next one. There we go. So see that pink bar that's ginormous on the top left chart? Just wanted to, and that's, you know, each of our divisions that we operate buses out of, so D2, D3, D4, D6, and I just wanted to confirm the reason D4 is so large is because that's where those buses that are serving Alameda are operating from,
exactly.
Not because there's a bigger problem at D4.
Exactly.
Right? So, okay, so that's helpful to understand, and I'm not sure if it's a really helpful metric to have in here,
okay.
If there's something that would be more insightful,
okay.
But or just be sure we can explain it or understand it. And looking forward to continuing to see improvement in, you know, work trips canceled due to no workforce, especially with the incentive program is ongoing. And any questions?
Just a quick question. I noticed on the first table for the O, the June data, is that because it's not 3 days worth of data? Is that why the June data kind of like?
Good question.
Oh, yes.
Dropped in.
I noticed that as well, and I need to dig into why that is.
I bet it's just not full.
Yeah, that might be it, and I don't know, Will, if you have any insight as to why ridership drops significantly for June on line O.
Oh,
so
maybe that's a summer phenomenon?
It might be.
I think it's a summer phenomenon because when I was writing in high school, the high school kids going to community college would jump on that instead of the 51 because the 51 may not have a seat, and we knew the O-line would have a seat. And because they also have a comfortable seat.
So I've been a, just a FYI, I've been a regular guest writer recently. I take the O from my stop is one block away from my house.
Oh.
So I take the O to the sales force, and my office is like, what, 2 or 3 short blocks from there. So I still like to drive, but I've been taking the bus.
Come on, Tony, totally. You can't admit that.
Wait.
That's the one time he takes the bus out.
I take the first bus.
520.
The 518.
Oh, 518.
Yeah. But I actually like to get in earlier, but whatever.
One thing you'll have to pay attention to is there's already discussions as part of the regional measures, efficiencies that Alameda County ACTC may require as part of funds for the regional measure, right? The efficiencies may include elimination or reduction of AC Transit Transbay route to push more people onto BART. So there was just some initial discussions at the last meeting. I'm just giving you a heads up that that may be coming. So you may need, if that is the case, well, you may need to continue to pay attention to what efficiency measures are recommended. And then to the extent that it impacts the O and the OX, you may want to raise your voice on that. So just FYI.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you. Great comment. So, any other comments on this? Last call for comments or questions? Hearing none, we will just go ahead and confirm our next meeting of this committee will be on Thursday, October 16th, 2025. I will note, I am out of the country on that date, so we may be rescheduling that meeting. I apologize, but just giving staff notice, I will be out of the country. Finally, do we have any agenda planning requests from members of the committee for future agenda items? Please submit those to staff. And last call for announcements or public comments on items not on our agenda today. Do we have any? Please raise your hand. Are you good? Is that a hand up? Or is
no.
That, okay, thank you. Great, this meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.